This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a birthday bash to honor an iconic musician, a Tony Award-winning musical, or a stroll down Julia Street for a celebration of art, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. New Orleans prepares to celebrate the birthday of a native son as French Quarter Festivals, Inc. kicks off the 2015 Satchmo Summerfest presented by Chevron. The jazz festival honoring the life, legacy, and music of Louis Armstrong is expected to draw thousands of fans to the old U.S. Mint this weekend. Spokeswoman Marcy Schramm joins us now to talk about the festivities. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
You know, it's hard to believe this is already the city's 15th celebration in honor of Louis Armstrong. How old would he be this year?
Well, this year, Louis would be 114, and this festival was founded in 2001 to celebrate his 100-year birthday. It was interesting because around the world, people were preparing, and New Orleans kind of jumped into action and said, oh my gosh, we need to do something too. And so that was the year Satchmo Summerfest was founded, and also the airport was renamed, the Louis Armstrong International Airport. There was a stamp issued. A lot of really exciting things happened in New Orleans in 2001. And we're thrilled that the festival has continued on.
Now, last year, Satchmo Summerfest broke a lot of records.
It did. It's growing. We've always called it our little boutique festival because it's a lot smaller than French Quarter Festival. But so much effort goes into it. It's such high-quality programming between the symposium, the traditional jazz on the stages, the kids' activities. We grew last year to 57,000 attendees. And we really need to expand it. It's time to grow this out into the neighborhood.
So how will you continue the momentum this year?
What's so nice about our organization is we're so much about community and partnerships and relationships. And so one of our longtime friends and colleagues, the Louis Armstrong House Museum in New York, called us up and they said, we would like to help you celebrate the 15th anniversary. We would really like to curate a very special exhibit. So the Armstrong House Museum in New York and us and the Louisiana State Museum got together, and this incredible exhibit opens this week for the festival. It is pieces from the collection of the Armstrong House Museum in New York and pieces from the Louisiana State Museum. And it's a never-before-seen wonderful group of artifacts and stories and history, and it touches on all different parts of Louis's life in New Orleans.
Can you give us a little sneak peek?
Sure. Well, you know, Louis, he was a bad boy at one point in his life. He shot a gun and he was sent to the Waifs home. And at the Waifs home, which unfortunately is no more, you know, it was demolished. There's pieces from the Waifs home, the banister and brick. And then we have his first cornet that he was given by his wonderful teacher and mentor at the Waifs home. So that cornet is in the exhibit that came from New York. And then we have his last trumpet from his final performances, and that's from the Louisiana State Museum's collection. So we've got his first cornet and his final trumpet, and they're beautiful side by side. And then some really amazing imagery. There's the original beautiful tinted photographs of his family, he and his mom and his sister. Some of the photography is amazing. They're really historic pieces, really encompassing his civil rights work, his touring, his growth, his struggles, his successes. There's some awards in there. It's one of those exhibits where you need to take the time and go through it and read everything because you just learn so much. He's so fascinating.
What do we see from his civil rights work?
We just did a little preview yesterday, and I really liked one of the pieces they blew up. And it was a quote from Louis where he was getting a really big award in New Orleans, and he was commenting that this award is great, but they still won't let my band play New Orleans because I've got two white players in my band, and integrated bands weren't allowed. It's a commentary of his quotes saying, you know, the awards are great, but, you know, I'm not coming back to play until this changes. And so he really stood up for what he believed was right.
What else is on tap this year?
We're doing a little different thing to open festival. We're commemorating the anniversary of Katrina. Katrina 10 is this year. And so our first symposium panel, which is at noon on Friday, July 31st, we'll be celebrating what we're calling musical first responders. And these are the people from our community who work so hard to save the music and save the culture following Katrina. And so our opening panel at noon inside the Mint will have people like Jordan Hirsch, who founded Sweet Home New Orleans, Reed Wick from the Grammys, Robert Lyle from the New Orleans Opera, Charisse Harrison Nelson, who's the quite famous musical and Mardi Gras Indian Family Dynasty, and Derek Tabb from Rebirth Brass Band, who founded the Roots of Music. These people all come together on a panel to talk about everything that they did in the big effort and the big push to save the music following Katrina. So I think that's going to be a really special and very emotional kind of a panel in a beautiful way. And then as we move into the weekend, we have the all-star lineup of panelists. David Sager from the Library of Congress, Dan Morgenstern, multi-Grammy Award-winning writer, former editor of Downbeat magazine, folks from the Armstrong House in New York. It's really like the brain trust of Louis Armstrong Scholarship that come in to present.
And the musicians.
Musicians are always fantastic. This year on Friday, we'll have Deacon John performing. He has not performed at Satchmo before, and what I love is that he's so excited about it. He was in our office just the other day and said he's bringing a 14-piece backing band. So I think he's planning something really special to celebrate Louis, which is great. Normally, we don't get the Rebirth Brass Band for Satchmo because they're usually touring Europe in the summer. They haven't been with us for 5 years. We'll have Rebirth coming back. They're playing Friday following Deacon John. And then just some of the really other amazing trad jazz and more modern jazz acts of the city. We've got Leah Chase, James Andrews, the Palm Court is putting together a new all-star band for us. We've got Preservation Hall playing. I'm very excited. We have Bill Summers playing. He's a very well-known musician himself who lives in New Orleans. He played with Herbie Hancock. We've got the wonderful ladies and wonderful men of jazz, Robin Barnes, Jeremy Davenport, Mashiya Lake. Jameel Sharif has not been with us before. He'll be playing Sunday. And then our one beloved returning guest from Japan is Yoshio Toyama. He knew Louis Armstrong. He and his wife came here in the 1960s and made themselves apprentices at Preservation Hall. They worship the music and worship Armstrong, and they perform every year at the festival.
Everything is contained in the old U.S. Mint?
It's all within the gates of the Mint, yes. I think, though, this might be the last year because we really do need to start physically growing the festival just because attendance is so good. And we are doing one off-site event, something special for the 15th anniversary. On Thursday, July 30th, we're going to do a special movie screening at Le Petit Theater. We're going to show the 1956 film High Society. It's like the golden age of Hollywood. It has Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly and Louis Armstrong. And it is such a fun, fun, fun film. It's comedy at its best. They're all at their finest in this film.
Now, is there an entrance fee this year?
There is. We have, for the first time ever, implemented a very nominal entrance fee of $5 for Satchmo Summerfest. So it's a daily fee where people pay it once, get a wristband, and they can come and go as they please. And children 12 and under are free. It's very exciting that Louis Armstrong and traditional jazz, they're not in fear of extinction at all. The interest is growing. The fans are growing. The fans are getting younger. And I think that's just so awesome for our city and our culture.
Marcy Schramm, Executive Director of French Quarter Festivals, Inc. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yes, give me a kiss.
The 15th annual Satchmo Summerfest, presented by Chevron, runs Friday through Sunday in the French Quarter at the old U.S. Mint. More info at fqfi.org.
Sweetheart, I ask no more than this. I guess there is a dream on you.
And speaking of Louis Armstrong, audiences uptown may be humming one of his biggest hits this weekend as Tulane University's Summer Lyric Theater rounds out its season with the Tony Award-winning musical Hello, Dolly. Joining me now is cast member Elizabeth Argus, who plays the role of Dolly, and Summer Lyric Theater's interim artistic director, C. Leonard Rabin. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This production made its Broadway debut with Carol Channing in the title role in the 1960s, but its roots go back a lot further. What is it based on, and how did the musical come about?
The musical is based on the Thornton Wilder play, The Matchmaker, which had kind of an up-and-down history on Broadway, certainly not as well known as Our Town. What has been retained in the musical is this Thornton Wilder style that I love, this kind of Yankee approach to the audience where the characters will break the fourth wall and address the audience directly in a very matter-of-fact kind of conversational tone, like being invited into someone's living room. And that's very much a Thornton Wilder kind of feel, which makes this musical fun for me. Ultimately, the title, Hello, Dolly, was actually retroactively applied to the musical after Louis Armstrong's hit.
In addition to Louis Armstrong's song, Hello Dolly, did he have a connection to the musical?
He didn't really have any physical connection to the original stage production. He makes this cameo appearance in the film version with Barbara Streisand after his big hit.
So, Liz, you are stepping into the role made famous by Carol Channing. You are Dolly. Tell me about the character and what's it like to fill such iconic shoes?
She's a delight to play. And before I started working on the role, I thought to myself, if Carol Channing came back for 5,000 performances of this show, 5,000 performances, it had to have been fun. Nobody's going to do anything 5,000 times if it's not life-giving. So that gave me the energy and the excitement to jump into the role.
So what's the storyline?
Dolly Levi, who is a matchmaker, always has a plan. Whoever she meets, she puts on a little costume and she just puts her hocus pocus and then makes the situation turn out the way that she wants it to. She's good at everything. She's makes money doing everything. If you want a boyfriend, if you want anything, a lawyer, she's that too. But she's ready to rejoin the human race. She's a widow who has been in a slump for far too long in her personal life. She's ready to start really living again. So in the midst of being sort of a marionette for all of these various characters, she wants to do something for herself. She wants to marry someone who has the resources to really be a philanthropist in the world. While it sometimes seems frivolous and very funny, there's really deep emotion in this piece.
I agree. It's a message about life, about second chances, about taking chances, about loving the people that you're with. And if I could just sing the praises of Jerry Herman, all of his musicals have this core, which is about life and living life and not waiting, just doing it.
Who else is in the cast?
We have the great Bob Eades as Horace Vandergelder. Katie Howe, whom you've seen a lot on our stage, is Irene Malloy. One of our students at Tulane, Megan Leiden, is Ermengarde. You'll hear her just whimpering through the whole show. It's very cute and very funny. Another one of our students, graduate student Kevin Murphy, is playing Rudolph. We have some new guys, Bobby Kelly and Bryce Slocum and Atarius Armstrong, who are playing Ambrose, Cornelius, and Barnaby, respectively. So they're from Mississippi, from Ole Miss, and they've been in all of our shows this summer. Sarah Ann Martinez is Minnie Faye. Susan Barrett Smith is Mrs. Rose. And Mandy Zirkenbach is Ernestina.
And what are some of the big hits that we're likely to hum along to?
The slow ballad that you'll know is It Only Takes a Moment. And it's a beautiful piece about just that, how it doesn't take you necessarily a day or a year or 5 years to fall in love with somebody. It happens before you can blink your eye. And it's really so touching. My favorite in the show is Before the Parade Passes By. And I weep every time I hear it. I know I'll be weeping in the pit when I'm conducting it because it's very rousing and very happy, but it's very poignant. It's about every missed opportunity.
Before the parade passes by, I'm gonna go and taste Saturday's high life. Before the parade passes by, I'm gonna get some life back into my life. I'm ready to move out in front. I've had enough of just passing by life.
It's just exuberant and heartbreaking at the same time. And of course, Hello Dolly.
This is one of those bright, warm shows. The costumes are going to blow audiences away. They are so beautiful. Our costume designers have designed and constructed most of the costumes we're going to be wearing on stage. And they've taken a lot of care and attention to detail, historical accuracy. It's just going to be a lush turn-of-the-century snapshot. It'll be a feast for the eyes and the ears and the heart.
actress Elizabeth Argus, and Summer Lyric Theater's interim artistic director, C. Leonard Waben. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Summer Lyric Theater presents Hello, Dolly! The musical, with lyrics and music by Jerry Herman. Performances run Thursday through Sunday in Tulane's Dixon Hall. More info at summerlyric.tulane.edu. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Arts District kicks into high gear this weekend as the Contemporary Arts Center's Whitney White Linen Night gets underway with art openings in museums and galleries and an outdoor celebration along Julia Street. The celebration at the CAC will focus on a new exhibit called Reverb, Past, Present, Future, where local artists explore the growth of art practices in the metro area in the decade post-Katrina. Joining me now by phone is Reverb curator Isolde Brillmeyer. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
It's a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
As you began to curate this exhibit, what was your reaction to the creative inspiration that was born in the wake of Hurricane Katrina?
When the CAC and their executive director, Neil Barclay, invited me to guest curate this exhibition, I was really thrilled, being a fan of New Orleans and a huge fan of the many artists that I had met there. And initially, he asked me to curate an exhibition that marked the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. What I actually proposed was to come down to New Orleans. I'm based in New York. And do a series over the course of maybe two or three trips, a series of studio visits with artists. Because what I really wanted to kind of understand is what was the relationship between the practicing artists of New Orleans and this monumental disaster, Katrina, and the sort of creative landscape in New Orleans in general. And what was really interesting to me was that Katrina was really, for many, a starting point, for some of them a starting point for their career, but a starting point to begin to think about their work, the materials that they were using, or sort of conceptually, the ideas that they were engaging in their practice. And so rather than make a show about Katrina, I decided to use Katrina as a chronological starting point or a jumping off place to really explore through the work of these artists the evolution of the creative landscape, the social, the political, the economic landscape of New Orleans over the last 10 years. And my hope is that the exhibition actually does that, or at least begins to do that.
So what did you find along the way?
The artists are working in so many different spaces and across so many different media. You will see in the exhibition performance, you'll see installation, you'll see and or hear sound. And then, of course, there are a number of artists working with photography, with video, painting, mixed media. So it was a really rich selection of media that the artists are all working in, which I was really, really pleased by. And I think it really makes for a great dynamic conversation. You know, it's interesting, Diane. I think there were a few artists who really kind of talked about Katrina as sort of a starting point for them to really begin to take themselves seriously as artists and to really fully embrace their practice, which I was really pleasantly surprised to hear. And then there are also a number of artists that in many ways don't touch on Katrina at all. Some of this is really going to be left open for the viewers to sort of look at and sort of see what strands they can pull.
So can you take us on a little walkthrough, maybe? What will visitors see in this exhibit?
The exhibition spans two floors, so it's the first floor of the Contemporary Arts Center and the second floor. There was just an incredible team, Jennifer Francino, Olivia Mano, Lindsay Barfield, the preparator. It was a very collaborative project once the artists were selected, and there are at least 34 artists. We tried to start, I think, on a note maybe on the first floor that's a bit quieter and maybe not what people expect. I think when we think of Hurricane Katrina, just in terms of the way in which the media and the sort of visual realm has painted it, we maybe have a certain idea. And I think when you enter this first floor, there's some works that are very much directly engaged with Hurricane Katrina, but there are also works that are kind of quieter. There's a very large work by Lauren Schwerd, which is essentially sort of a house made of fibers and hair There are smaller pieces on the wall that are very much mingling image and text. And then when you go upstairs, you're confronted, and I don't want to give away too many of the surprises, but you're sort of confronted with one work when you walk through the door that is really powerful. It's actually all text. And it sort of gives you something to think about as you move through the space. You'll definitely find some works that are sort of humorous. There were a number of artists that are really playing with popular culture, music, dance, in a way I think that will bring a smile to people's faces. There are definitely some works that are a bit more serious. And there's some works that are very abstract, I think, that will really require people to sort of sit in front of them and really think really hard. I'm really excited. People will walk away with a sense of how incredibly rich and dynamic the creative art scene is in New Orleans and the surrounding region, and how really plugged in so many of the artists are to the local, national, and even international art worlds and sort of worlds in general. And I think that people may find surprising. I think people will be really in awe of how plugged in and engaged all of these artists are. This will, if anything, add another layer onto how we conceive of Katrina, conceive of New Orleans, and think about art in New Orleans and art in general. It's not a dark exhibition. It inspires a sense of exploration and thought. But yeah, I'm really excited. I will be around and really eager to meet people and meet the artists and see the show and just share thoughts on the show and just enjoy New Orleans.
Well, I hope you have a great time, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me on, Diane. Enjoy.
Thank you. Reverb guest curator Isolde Brillmeyer is the director of the Contemporary Art Initiative, the public art platform at Westfield World Trade Center, New York. The opening reception for Reverb, Past, Present, Future, runs from 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. Saturday at the Contemporary Art Center, 900 Camp Street. There is also a CAC Whitney White Linen Night after party from 9 till 11 with Mod Dance Party's DJ Maddie. More info at cacno.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.